of change.
Daniel Ellsberg is the source of the Pentagon documents.
It is time to quit making national heroes out of those who steal secrets and publish them in the newspaper.
I began copying the Pentagon Papers to give them to the American Congress and share them with the American public.
I came to realize that a wrongful war was going on and would continue to go on unless these lies were exposed.
He is the preeminent whistleblower in the deepest sense.
Whistleblowers have become a kind of fundamental part of how our democracy works.
Mark Felt, the former associate director of the FBI, revealed that he was the man that helped bring down the Nixon administration.
They have unquestionable patriotism and a lot of courage.
His testimony was a key to the eventual $246 billion settlement with five tobacco companies.
Jeffrey Wigand brought down Big Tobacco.
Former Enron employee Sharon Watkins, better known as the Enron.
Ex-cop Frank Serpico changed the NYPD forever when he revealed a multi-million dollar payoff corruption scam.
You have to go up against the odds to do the right thing.
Karen Silkwood took on one of the biggest companies in America, crusading against America's nuclear power industry.
And in the face of fear, she continued to collect
it. It changed history. What Dan did.
A genuine
did.
American hero, Jeff Wigand. Refusal to
leadership. The greatest gift that the national security state ever got was obviously the ability to exploit the fear of 9/11 very aggressively without opposition to enjoy this massive booming growth and power.
Exerting that vast power, the national security state surrounds itself within a wall of silence, where whistleblowers and the free press are attacked and vilified, even when lives are at stake.
The day that Major Megan McClung was killed by an IED while riding in a Humvee was the tipping point for me.
I had to do something. If not me, then who? And if not now, then when? It was one of those situations. And I just said, no. It doesn't matter what the consequences are, personal or otherwise, right? I said, this needs to be fixed.
Whistleblowers are just people who said there's something more important here than my boss or the general or the admiral or the president.
The most common vehicle used was the Humvee. They were never built to withstand weapons that the insurgents were using, these IEDs.
The estimates are that about a third of the casualties in Iraq were due to Humvees.
Hundreds of Marines were tragically lost, and probably thousands maimed unnecessarily. So I said, let's replace the Humvees with what are called MRAPs, mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles. The MRAP was bound to save lives. It's more survivable than the Humvee because it has this V-hull that deflects the blast out rather than focusing it or carrying it straight up. The base is much higher off the ground, so it's further away from the center of the blast. Tailor-made for bombs were IEDs, but it wasn't a new solution. The Marines had asked for MRAPs, but that request had been pushed back.
The Pentagon, intentionally or unintentionally, had preventably caused 19 months in delays, and that had a direct impact on lost lives, unnecessarily. I came with these concerns to my supervisors. No success. Then communicating directly with the agency that's supposed to be providing the support. No luck there. Then working with Systems Command. Well, Systems Command depended on other parties. No luck there.
And so I was determined to bring this to the attention of the Office of the Secretary of Defense. But when the officials saw the brief that I was going to present, they said, absolutely not. That cannot be allowed to go forward.
When they get to the end of that chain of command and it becomes more important that nobody get embarrassed, that some people eventually decide, you know what, I'm going to do the outside play.
I contacted Sharon Weinberger of the blog called Danger Room.
He was a champion for fighting against the Pentagon bureaucracy that was slowing things down.
Military industrial. And the military piece is supposed to be in charge. Tell the industry, you know? But what happens is the bureaucracy has its own interests.
We had documents backing it up, and so we went ahead and published it.
Publishes the actual document on Danger Room, which was very, very helpful. That got the attention of Senator Biden and his staff. They asked whether I would like to speak to USA Today. I said yes. I got a call from Tom Vandenbroek, I believe, the very next day.
And as soon as I found out about Franz, I thought, oh my God, I've got a real live, honest to God whistleblower who knows what's going on.
I provided him unclassified information, which was key to understanding the issue.
I thought immediately we were embarking on a bigger project to find out why these vehicles hadn't been getting there in the first place.
And immediately he took and ran with it, and he understood and was fortunately able to bring this to a front page article.
These have to be genuine, important issues that are being exposed. And in Franz's case, when you hear about decisions that are made that save thousands of lives, there's nothing more important than that.
Now, a new Pentagon study. Are our troops getting what they need when they need it?
Is the U.S. military shortchanging its troops?
According to Franz Geil, the Marine bureaucracy has continued to under-equip our troops for years.
I contend that officials knowingly delayed or refused the provision of urgently requested capabilities like MRAP.
Geil says hundreds of troops have been killed.
Delays in military.
They're not going to tell you what's broken. And the only way to find that out is from people on the inside.
They couldn't allow something like this to happen again.
Fight them with truth. That's what it's all about.
Now it's in the press, and now the Commandant's getting asked about it during Senate Armed Services Committee testimony.
Does the administration have a plan to replace each of those Humvees in Iraq with some variation of an MRAP?
We don't have an answer right now on how long term I think the MRAP is going to be.
2-3 days after, actually, my story had run on MRAPs, I was taken aside by a senior defense official who told me that my access was going to dry up for writing a story like that. It wasn't going to change the way I reported, but I thought it was interesting that, you know, someone at his level would take the time to make that threat.
They were using all these personnel actions against me. I'm the substandard employee, bottom 3%, unreliable, untrustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. After investigations and after all these personnel actions and reprisals, I was placed on administrative leave.
The MRAPs are starting to get media attention, but the guy who makes it happen, Franz Geil, is losing his security clearance and is getting pounded on in his own job.
I was fearful. If I have to leave the government now and I don't have security clearances, we're gonna have to move away. I can't get a job around here. You can't do anything without a security clearance around DC area. I knew that life was gonna go fall off a cliff.
With this thing that's going through in his head and work and family and my children, all this chaos thing, we went through with it. I mean, like, tough time, you know, but we hang in there, et cetera.
When Gates saw the stuff the whistleblower was pushing out there, everything changed.
Secretary of Defense Gates, first thing he did is establish what was called an MRAP task force.
Vehicles like the MRAP provide the best protection available against roadside bombs, and so the need for these kinds of vehicles will not soon go away.
The MRAP started going out there en masse.
This is the largest acquisition program for the Department of Defense since World War II.
Working round the clock to keep these trucks in the fight.
We sent more than 24,000 MRAPs to our warfighters.
This MRAP
saved the
lives of 5 Marines who were in it.
Dust everywhere, and then when the dust settled, everybody was like, are we okay? Are we okay? And we were all good and moved on.
It protected our soldiers. That's what matters.
We were in a lot better shape than had we been in a Humvee.
Made a difference, saved lives every day.
We were all lucky to be alive.
The MRAP saved my life.
We were able to bring everybody home alive.
The number of deaths and maimings just plummeted.
I've been a reporter for 25 years, and there's nothing that's been more satisfying than this story.
Because a whistleblower stood up and said, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Lives were saved. And that, to me, is the definition of a hero.
My husband, I consider him hero, but he didn't think he wanted me to call him hero like that because he loves the Marine, and he just did what he needs to do. And I'm proud of him. But I love you, honey. I think you are so good, and I'm very, very proud of you.
You made it happen. And that was hugely satisfying.
He's losing his job while the right thing is happening.
This is where wonderful advocates who have been helping me all these years really came to the rescue.
We at the Project on Government Oversight worked with our colleagues at the Government Accountability Project, and we started a public campaign to ask people around the country to demand to protect the man who actually is helping to save our troops. And we got thousands and thousands of letters.
POGO approached the Office of Special Counsel.
They actually cited our public appeal in their ruling in his favor.
At that point, the Marine Corps contacted me immediately and said, well, now you can come back to work. But why didn't they do the right thing?
Since the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan began, it's been the heydays for defense contracting.
The biggest problem is the lack of oversight. We have a system that doesn't want to find out what's going on.
It comes down to money and reputations.
There's a lot of money behind the Humvee, a lot of lobbying behind the Humvee.
Tens of millions, hundreds of millions, if you take into account the Army contracts as well.
A lot of the money that's allegedly spent to defend us is really about greed, it's about waste.
From a fiscal conservative's perspective, we need to change that kind of cycle and get to a point where money is being spent more efficiently, more effectively, and more accountably.
It is the military-industrial complex. I'm not some left-wing guy who has grabbed onto that concept. You know, I would consider myself a conservative, patriotic American, but it's real. And there are so many conflicts of interest. This is the beast that we have in industrialized societies. This problem is real.
There's a huge architecture we don't see in the secret world. And believe me, these guys can operate, and they are operating, and they operate with total impunity. There's so much we don't know, and so much we can't know, so much locked up in legal classification.
The more powerful the national security state becomes, the more we need whistleblowers.
It is all in the classified realm. What we discovered as a result of our research is that there are over 1,200 government organizations working at the top secret level on counterterrorism. There are another close to 2,000 companies that work for the government on top secret matters. And they're all located in about 10,000 locations throughout the country. There are close to 1 million people who have top secret clearance.
We talk about a national security state that pretends that it's interested in a national security, when in fact it's interested in the security of corporate interests, of agency interests, of politicians keeping their jobs.
It is, as one source said, a self-licking ice cream cone. It's there to support itself.
The national security state is an establishment that involves huge expenditures whose effectiveness and efficiency are questionable.
Secrecy is always the linchpin of abuses of power. If you can't exercise your power in the dark, people have insufficient power to hold you accountable.
And unfortunately, right now, we've seen a big crackdown on whistleblowers.
Whistleblowers are under attack in ways they've never been before in history.
Obama administration's been extremely aggressive in trying to root out whistleblowers within the government.
I think President Obama feels this way because he's grown very close to the CIA and to the classified military operators. Both of those are in the deepest of the secret world.
the impact of this administration's aggressiveness in the national security arena has had an extraordinary chilling effect. The number of people who have indicated to us they wish they could talk, but they can't because they're so afraid of what could happen to them. It's a terrible thing for our democracy.
My name's Thomas Drake. I took the oath 4 times in my government career to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I joined NSA as a senior executive, primarily responsible for electronic foreign intelligence. 9/11 was my first day on the job. After in processing, taking the oath, getting all my paperwork straightened out, we were in this meeting and it was a rather dramatic moment, particularly with the second power being hit. And I remember standing up saying, America is under attack.
Nightmares, Armageddon right here.
I'm calling out to all the intelligence agencies and departments. Whatever you have in the labs, we need to put into the fight. I was literally charged to be the leader at NSA to go out and find all of these programs for filtering through the vast reams of data being generated by the digital age, the internet age, and provide the intelligence on it as it's being generated, while protecting the rights of Americans. It was the prime directive at NSA. You do not spy on Americans without a warrant. And then, as I discovered to my horror, the government is conducting blanket electronic surveillance with no controls, no accountability, and no oversight. NSA would have extraordinary penetration of U.S. citizenry in terms of spying and surveillance. I was so concerned because I remember telling my immediate supervisor, what are we doing? It was the most chilling of conversations I've probably had because here he is telling me, it's all been approved,